Wish y'all a good evening.
Buenas tardes. Dios le bendiga. Amen. This is my last night speaking, Lord willing, and I thought I'd take a little time to introduce myself once again. My name is Roland Espada. I'm married to my wife, Angie, and I got my three kids, and we're down in Morelia. And I thought I'd take just a little time, hopefully, to give a little of my testimony how I came about to become a missionary. First of all, I want to thank the Lord for each and every family that's taken a part, each and every individual that's taken a part and have entrusted us with your finances, your prayers, entrusted us. You've just trusted us to do what we're saying we're doing. And so I want to thank y'all for doing that. And I also want to thank all the ladies and the husbands that have provided their homes for us, and also for the food that they've really provided. I remember the first time, or I think it was Monday, I forgot to thank the ladies in the kitchen. I tell you, I know how it is to work kitchen, ladies, and some of you men that run through there. And I know how it is when the people just come and get their plates and go on by and forget all about you. I want to thank you for that. And forgive me for not doing it Monday. I got saved back in the year 1982, I believe it was, by the grace of God. A preacher came to my house and knocked on my door, and it was right after my wife got saved, and anyway, I got saved the next day because of God's grace, and a faithful witness came to my door, and I thank the Lord for that. And after 7 years following the Lord and going through a whole bunch of stuff in God's will and His work in my life, I surrendered to serve the Lord, not full time. I went at that time to my father's homeland, which is the land of Puerto Rico, and praise the Lord. Well, I didn't go as a full time missionary back then. I went as a tent maker. And I stayed out there for 3 years, and God, my intention wasn't to go out there and build churches like we're doing in Mexico. But I did get the chance to preach God's word out there, and I thank the Lord for the 3 years that He gave me. And the last year, I think it was the last year that I was there, I was really praying to the Lord to give me a full-time ministry. I mean, a full-time ministry in His work. It was something. God puts the desire in your heart, and He put it in my heart. And it came to pass. I got back after the Lord closed the doors there in Puerto Rico. And the Lord opened the doors in Mexico, in Salamanca, in Guanajuato. Brother Adrian was down there with his family, I think for a couple of years. And he had been praying for somebody to come help him. And the Lord answered his prayer, I believe. And I believe so, because there's a church there now, 3 years later. And anyway, so we had that privilege to be a part of that work there in Salamanca. I did want to say before I left my notes here, that I left a job as a truck driver for ATB, after working with them for 10 years. I was over the road for 6 years, and with the company 10 years. I grabbed, what I had in the IRA and what the taxes with the IRS took away from me. I took the rest and went on to Puerto Rico. And that's how we serve the Lord. Even though, as I was in Puerto Rico, some brethren of the church still sent me their offerings. And I don't think I ever thanked y'all for that while I was in Puerto Rico as a tent maker, missionary. But anyway, getting back to Salamanca. Well, now the work is there. Y'all pray for that work in Salamanca. And we are now in Morelia, Michoacan, Mexico. And so I'm alone now, but I'm not alone. I'm with the Lord Jesus Christ. He's with us. But do pray that the Lord would lift up someone else to work with us there. What's that? Matthew chapter 9. I'll try to go through it a little fast there, Billy. I know how it is being last. Matthew chapter 9 and verse 37. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. And the next verse is like brother was saying a while ago, pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth the laborers into his harvest. But I want to focus, I think it was made clear about the prayer, and I don't want to take that away from this. That's very important. But I want to focus a minute on that verse 37. The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. You know, this has really come to a realization to me personally, for myself, ministering there in Salamanca. We'd get out there and preach and just start a ruckus with the gospel in the middle of where their people at, and just getting their attention, getting them to listen to what we had to say, and then the people would flock around and listen. And of course, this was something that happened daily as we were there as full-time missionaries. And being that this was the case, it was great to see the people there to listen to you. And then after a time, I don't know, maybe months went past and whatever, I started realizing that we weren't reaching all these people afterwards that we'd get to after we got done preaching. Adrian, he's like the one to catch the big fish. You know, he's ready for that one soul. And he'll grab that first person. He'll just deal with him. And he'll just deal with him. And just deal with him. And I'm the kind that likes to just throw out the bait to everybody, you know, and I'll just get out there and, well, do you got any questions? Is there something I can, you know, and just, if not, we'll give him a track and go on. Maybe the Lord will use it later. And, you know, I think they're both good. You know, not one is better than the other. But it's because the laborers are few. Laborers are few. And I think you need to take these words of the Lord Jesus Christ in account, that the harvest truly is plenty. How many souls of men are out there in this world? How many souls are in here right now? How many are not saved in here right now? I don't know. But you know, throughout the whole world, the harvest truly is plentiful. The laborers are few. There's some that are working. You see them out there working. That's a blessing. Well, what about you? Are you laboring for the Lord? Let's go on to Mark chapter 6. Mark 6. Mark chapter 6, verse 34. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people, and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep not having a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. Brethren, I don't know about you, but I have a shepherd. My shepherd is not Brother Brent Riggs. You know, he's the one that the Lord used to bring me to know the Lord Jesus Christ. My shepherd is not Brother Lindell. He's one of my pastors, yes, here on earth. But my shepherd is the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know, Jesus, he had compassion when he saw all these multitudes of people. And he had that compassion because they were like sheep that did not have nobody to guide. You and I have someone that guides us now, the Holy Spirit of God. Jesus said that I must go, but I will send you a comforter, the Holy Spirit. It's God that's in us. It's Jesus that's in us. And you know what? We're not without a shepherd, you know. But there's many out there that don't have a shepherd. They're full of religion. They're full of superstitions. They're full of their ideas. They don't want to submit to God's word and his truth. They don't want to submit to just Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ. They don't want to submit to what Jesus has done for them. Jesus paid the price. He paid the whole price. There's nothing you and I can add to it to make our, to assure our salvation. It's been paid for. Jesus bore our sins in his body. And he rose the third day. And now he lives in us. And he wants to live in many of us. And I know there's many in here. This is a preaching church. This is a witnessing church. But brethren, don't give up. You that are doing it. Don't give up. You that are doing it. Don't give up. And you that are not doing it, you ought to start doing it. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. Think about us now. We have Jesus. We have a shepherd. We have this. And too often we forget how it was when we first got saved. Too often we forget about those. Me and Billy were going around town, taking care of some business today, and we just saw this man on the street corner, and it's just written all over him. The man's without a shepherd. Sin's got him. The devil's got him. You know, kind of hard to just go out there and witness to him. I guess we really could. We could have really, really, really desired, but God just showed us that to keep the burden alive that people need the gospel. Hebrews 5,
Thinking about what Brother Milton was saying earlier about the priest in the Old Testament, you know, and this is a book that is directed at a Hebrew people along to the church. But it's, as we see, as we know, that back then they had priests to do sacrifices for the people and for their sins and for their own sins, because they were sinners the same. And so I see something here. Of course, now in the New Testament, now in this day and age, we don't need the old Hebrew way of having a priest intercede for us, even though we do need one, and we do have one, we that are saved. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the great high priest. It's not the Pope of Rome. It's not a priest here on earth like it was back in that time. It's the Lord Jesus Christ out of heaven. And, you know, I look at this here in Hebrews 5 of this old way of having the priest do sacrifices for the sins. But it spoke to me here. Let's read it so we can bring it out. It says in verse 1, Hebrews 5, 1, "For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed with infirmities. You know, I think about that, and it spoke to me in this way. I don't know if y'all might see it this way, but it spoke to me in this way. You know, we are compassed. We as Christians, even saved, born again Christians, we're compassed with infirmities. We ought to have, I think, even more compassion than what the Lord Jesus Christ had. And I'm just saying this because we understand the need. Jesus didn't have sin. He knew no sin. But he's God. And he understands everything. I don't want to go against the grain, especially with my God. But one thing I know, brethren, is that you and I ought to have more compassion for these lost and dying souls, because we have the infirmity. But we have a rest. And that's in what the Lord Jesus Christ has done. And so I thank the Lord for that. But many don't have that rest. Many don't have that rest. And let's not forget it. This is to encourage you not to forget. You are forgiven. You have been forgiven in Christ. I mean, no matter how much your flesh and the world and the devil come against you, you got to understand, if you've trusted Christ, you have died in Him. And you have risen with Him. You're sitting in heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Too often we get our eyes, or we live by sight instead of faith. We have to live by faith in the scriptures and what Jesus has done for us. So what? We ought to have more. We ought to have that compassion for these sheep without a shepherd. I'm going to finish here in 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, we was talking about earlier that there's no more priest, or at least the priesthood of the Hebrew, or the Hebrew time, or the Jewish era in that time, and how God used many like Daniel and others, Moses and others. But we are priests, and we're to offer sacrifice. Hebrews 2, and it says in verse 5, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. We have a holy priesthood, and we're to offer up spiritual sacrifices. I was thinking about the morning meeting, and something touched me. You know, I thought about other sacrifices, but it really spoke to me, and maybe it was pointed at me. I needed to see it. It was about the heart. It was our heart aright, you know. That, I think, is the beginning, like it was pointed out this morning. I think that's the first spiritual sacrifice. How is your heart before your Lord and your Savior and your Maker? How is our heart before Him? I mean, I'm not saying that we're going to have a perfect heart, but have you set account with Him? Or are you just living like you used to? I mean, have you come to Him daily or moment by moment? Say, Lord, cleanse me. Lord, forgive me. He says He's faithful and just to forgive us all our sins. Now, we are forgiven of the whole sin account in Christ, but for communion and a daily walk, we need to ask for forgiveness moment by moment. I think the heart. How is our heart? Is it to deceive? Is it full of guile? Is it full of self? Is it full of other things, of worldly goods? Are these things first in our lives? Or is the Holy Spirit of God showing us this is right, this is wrong, this is well, this you ought to take heed to or whatever? Or have we just put aside the voice of God? How is our heart? Spiritual sacrifice. How about another spiritual sacrifice? Giving of yourself. It talks about giving of yourself. The scripture's talking about giving of yourself. It says, you know, it is our reasonable service that we give of these bodies of ours as living temples for the Lord. It's our reasonable service, giving of self. What are you? What have you given yourself over to God? What areas are not given over to God? What areas are reserved for self and maybe even sin and pleasure? What areas are not given over to God? Giving of yourself. How about your time? You know, many times we hear down in Mexico, I don't have the time for study. I work too much. I don't have the time, you know. Well, you know, time belongs to God. Time belongs to God. And He can take it any time, any moment that He wants to. He can take it away. And many are messing with that saying that they don't have time for God. How's your time in prayer? How's your time in devoting and studying God's Word to show yourself approved unto God? How's your time in trying to make meetings where you know you might just get that blessing? You know something about that, about coming to meetings? You know, too often times we listen to the flesh or whatever, and the flesh tells us many things. Why not to be at the meeting? Oh, so and so didn't look at me right, or so and so didn't shake my hand, or it was just a little boring the other night. It was a little long the other night, or whatever. But, you know, you might miss the night of blessing. You might miss the night of blessing with listening to that type of attitude. You gotta understand, the church is full of men and women like us. I mean, we're carnal beings still here on the earth, spiritually speaking. We're spiritual beings in the sight of God. But you need to give of your time. Time. Some of these brothers are getting out faithful now, preaching out in the streets, and they've been preaching out in the parks or out at the Alamo and other places. Hey, that's great. How about time to prayer? You can't get out and preach. Well, you can think of other things. Those things came to my mind. How about a spiritual sacrifice? Ministry. Ministry. There's many children here. You know, I've noticed something here at Oakno is that many times that the years that I've had here coming, I've seen many of the same women in the nursery. I don't know what the situation is there, but could you as a woman volunteer your time for the nursery? Could you do that? Could you reach out to a child and give him the gospel? Could you take care of a child or children, babies? It's a quiet church here. Someone's back there taking care of your baby, you know? Could you do that? Ministry. Think about the ministry. Clean the church. You know, there's a group of brethren here that struggle time after time to clean this church. Well, are you one that to throw things around in the church and leave things laying around and kick the chairs around and are you taking care of the church? Or because there's a people that have dedicate part of their life to clean the church and make it nice for you, so you're taking it for granted? Have you tried straightening out this church before? Have you ever tried putting the chairs in line? It's a tough thing. Hey, but it's nice when you come on in. I like this row here. I'm coming out. Well, someone prepared that for you. Ministry. It's many ministries. It's not all preachers, but it all fits together. It all makes a good case. I'll end at this. Maybe the Lord's calling you to preach. Maybe the Lord's calling you not just to preach in San Antonio, but to preach somewhere else. I don't know. Maybe it's for San Antonio. Like we know, San Antonio needs a big witness. Brethren, you have nothing to feel guilty about, nothing to feel bad about if you know your ministry. Some of these women here, they got sweet ministries, and they're ministering. You know what? And they're satisfied because they know they're in God's will. When God wants them to do something else, He'll press it on their heart. So you know what? This too needs to be taken care of. But
If you're doing your ministry, you have nothing to feel bad about or ashamed about. Because remember, he that judges you is the Lord. Well, I'll leave it at that one.